Welcome everyone tonight to our Wednesday night service right here at Calvary Baptist Church of Powder Springs, and thank you for tuning in. And forgive us, we were trying to make some last minute adjustments, but I believe we're still right on time. And I hope everybody has been having a great week this week. I hope you have been doing well, and we are just thankful and grateful tonight that we're able to rise up and take nourishment and work and do things. What a blessing it is to be able to continue and do things in this life. Tonight, I want to jump right into our prayer request and mention some things here concerning our people and prayer request. And then we're going to pray, and we're going to jump right into the Word tonight, which I hope will be a blessing to you. Number one, tonight I want to mention as of this evening, early evening, Brother Johnny Ivey went home to be with the Lord. And so please remember his family, his wife, Miss Stacy, his kids. Also remember Welcome Hill Baptist Church and their future. I know this will be a great time of bereavement for such a man of God that Brother Johnny was. We know where he's at tonight, but those of us that are here certainly grieve his absence. And so I do want to say that Brother Johnny was a mentor of mine. Brother Johnny, he actually reached out to me and my family early in ministry, in our ministry days, and he really, really befriended me when we were going through a very unsure time and dark time. Brother Johnny also was a seminary teacher and with the Bible College that was based out of Delta, Alabama, and yet he had a location at his church. And Brother Johnny was my teacher, and he was a patient teacher, but I appreciate Brother Johnny. I don't know of a more humble man than him. Never seen him raise his voice one time outside of church or anywhere like that. He was a genuine, true, real man of God, and who cared so much about his representation of the Lord. And so tonight, church, let's just remember Brother Johnny's family and his church. Also tonight, let's continue to remember our children's home and the staff and the children. Let's remember the tree lot, as I believe they're doing very well. And so let's pray for them. Let's remember Brother Don and Sister Carla Rich, Miss Carla in her lupus diagnosis, as they continue trying to figure out the best route to take with that. Let's remember Brother Allen, Sister Terry Clayton, and Brother Allen with his Bell's palsy. We're praying for you, brother. Miss Lauren and Rhett Hancock, we're praying for Miss Patty, her mother, as she goes to the doctor. I believe she has a doctor's appointment, one or two this month, to rule out some other things and try to find a diagnosis as to what's going on with her. So we're praying for her. And let's continue to remember Miss Catherine Plemons, Brother Ceylon, her mother, Miss Marge, and as Miss Catherine takes care of her. Let's remember Brother James, Shirley Townsend, and her PET scan she's going to have in a month. Let's remember Brother James himself in his breathing condition. Brother Jim and Don Daly, with Brother Jim and his breathing, but also being anemic. Also Jim Jr. and his daughter, his daughter, that is, who has COVID and trying to get over that. Let's remember the Teagues, Larry, Connie, and Christy. Let's also remember Miss Connie's brother Bill, as he is making progress, and we're glad to hear of that, praying for him. Miss Claudia Darby, we're praying for her and her sciatica nerve pain. Dawn Capistrano with her foot recovery surgery she had. Miss Cheryl Millwood, we're continuing to praise the Lord for her sister's report from having surgery, but also her recovery. Got good news today, or at least I found out of it today, that Brother Jeff Hodges, he had his other biopsy on his other kidney, and that came back negative, benign. So praise the Lord for that. Yet Brother Jeff will have a surgery to remove the mass, although it is benign. So we're thanking God for that. Let's remember their son-in-law Chris as well in his health conditions. Let's remember Brother Leonard and Dolores Palmer. Brother Leonard had, I believe he had a couple toes operated on this week, early this week, maybe even, I believe it was Monday that he had this done. And we're praying for you, Brother Leonard, Miss Dolores, praying for you guys when we pray. I do have another request, church. If you would remember my wife, Christy, her uncle Mike, he just had a hip replacement. And so he's at home recovering from the hip replacement. And so please help us pray for him with this recovery process. As much as I know, it was a successful surgery, but then there's the recovery process, which can take a while. This is Christy's Uncle Mike. And do please remember her grandmother and the passing of her grandfather and in days ahead as they develop a new routine in life. Let's continue to remember Miss Barbara Anderson at Powder Springs Rehab, Rusty and Chris Watkins, Brother Harold Dolph. Let's remember Joe and Lynn Vandiver and his sister-in-law Charlotte that has cancer. Jenny Clanton, Randy, and Diane Ely, his mother, her brother. Let's remember Ed and Marianne Sanvey. Let's continue to remember Cassie Karanovich, Gerald and Francis Carroll, Eddie and Joanne Rich, Lee Ellen and Mary, Ashley, Aiden, Bentley, and Eli. Let's remember the whole family tonight. All of our shut-ins. Let's remember James Tolan Brown, our Marine from the Children's Home. And let's continue to remember Miss Kim Merritt, which is battling cancer there at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. And again, just remember Brother Ivy's family from Welcome Hill Baptist Church. And my only announcement tonight is our Christmas service / Christmas special offering, and that's going to be on the 20th of December. And so let's remember these things tonight, church, and also let's just remember this coming up Lord's Day, that the Lord would give us a wonderful service. He blessed tremendously last Sunday, morning and night, and God is working in several people's lives, and I praise the Lord for that. You know, the Bible says that His Word will not return void, and so whether He is saving someone or He is ministering to a believer already, God's Word does not return void, and we're thankful and grateful for that. Let's pray tonight, and then we will bring the message the Lord has laid upon our heart for this evening. Father, we come in Jesus' name tonight, and Lord, we're so thankful and grateful for who You are. Lord, we adore You for who You are. We show great adoration. You're the God that knows all things. You're the God that's everywhere at the same time. You have all power. Lord, You're merciful. You're graceful. You are, Father, in spite of the things we don't understand, You are healer, God. You're provider. You're sustainer. And we adore You tonight, Lord. And Father, tonight we praise You for not only who You are, for what You do. We know that You are actively at work in our lives this evening. And so, Father, we can take great pleasure and we can be at ease tonight when we go to sleep, those of us who know You personally. We can go to sleep tonight at ease knowing that You're in control and You're working everything together for good. All we need to do is trust You. And, Lord, we do pray for Sister Stacy Ivy tonight. We pray for the kids as well, Lord, that you would be with them, Lord. No doubt Brother Johnny has a daughter, Rhonda, who's already graduated high school. But then there's Brandon and there's Hunter, who's in middle and elementary school. Father, I pray that you would be with them and let them reflect back on the loving, godly dad that they still have. He's just been transported to heaven. And Father, I pray you'll strengthen Sister Stacy during this time. Be with Welcome Hill Baptist Church. Oh God, I pray that you would just lay a blanket of grace, a blanket of comfort over that congregation. God, he has been the pastor there for 20 years. And Lord, they don't have a pastor now. And Father, I just pray for healing for that church. And Lord, tonight we lift up all these requests to you. We pray for Uncle Mike that is recovering from his hip surgery. We pray you'll be with him. Lord, we praise you for Brother Jeff and the good report we got back from him. I pray that you'll, though, be with him in his upcoming surgery. Be with his son-in-law, Chris. And Father, we just pray over all of these needs tonight. Those who have cancer, those who have surgery, those who are going to have surgery, those, Lord, who are in financial strain, those who are spiritually, God, in a hard place, I pray tonight that your words would be lively words, Lord, that your words would be encouraging words to them. And Father, I pray that you would be with Calvary Baptist Church. Lord, as long as we're here, there's a lively church here. And so, Father, we pray that you would use us for your honor and your glory here in this community. We pray for our nation, our world. Oh God, we pray that you would work things after the counsel of your own will. And Father, we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving in our heart. Amen and amen. Tonight we're going to be in the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter, chapter number 3. You may see that on your screen. 2 Peter, chapter number 3 this evening. And before we read our verse, which is going to be verse number 18, let me just say tonight that the Apostle Peter ends his second epistle with a certain message to all believers. And that message is simply this: to grow. Notice what he says in verse number 18. He ends his epistles with these words: but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And so as we look at this verse tonight, I want to actually use this verse as a launching pad for the message tonight, for the lesson this Wednesday night. And I want to talk to you about this subject for a few moments. The call to grow. The call to grow. And Peter gives us a specific illustration in this matter of growing, actually, in 1 Peter chapter number 2. Notice what he says in 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 2. Peter talks about a newborn babe when it grows, but he compares it to a new believer. He says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. And so Peter here, he's drawing from this picture of a newborn baby who is craving that milk. That newborn baby needs that milk because there's nutrients in that milk that's going to help that baby grow. But also at the same time, there comes a point in time where that milk and the amount of nutrients it has for a growing baby will not sustain that baby. That baby will grow, and it will, as many of you I'm sure have experienced raising kids, the babies grow and they start to teethe. They start to teethe on things, and they're ready to chew. And so there comes a time where they transition from the bottle to milk to meat, from milk to meat. They need something a little more fulfilling to sustain them. And so there comes a point in time where they graduate from milk to meat. And all of these things, going from milk to meat, it helps in the development of this child. Well, you can see how Peter and why Peter would mention this. Because when a person gets saved and born again, they become a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And they desire the milk of the Word of God. They desire to read the Bible. A believer desires to hear preaching and teaching, and a believer desires to read the Scriptures. A new believer desires to talk to God. A new believer desires to be around the people of God. And so we see that there is a fresh start for a person who's saved, a new beginning, and they crave God's Word. But there comes a point in time where they need a little more sustenance. Like that baby goes from milk to meat, the same way it is in the life of a believer. They start on the milk of the Word, and then they go to the meat of the Word. And this should be in the life of a Christian in order to grow. Now, as babes grow physically, Christians should grow spiritually. Physically tonight, wouldn't it be odd to see a baby who was on milk, but then go back 20 years later and that baby has now become a young adult, an adult, and is still on the bottle drinking milk? That'd be kind of odd, wouldn't it? I mean, to visit someone 20 years later and they're still on a bottle drinking milk, it'd be kind of weird, actually. It wouldn't be natural for that to happen. They should have been on food at just 6 months, maybe into their birth. But 20 years later, they're still on milk, and they're not really growing. They may be growing in age, but their bones and their organs and the insides, their body isn't growing like it should. I want to say that spiritually tonight, a lot of people are the same way. They get born again. They trust in Jesus as their Savior. They publicly profess to the world through baptism. They're a new creature. And then they set out to read God's Word. They crave it. But they never advance. They never take the initiative to take in the meat of the Word that they may properly grow thereby. And because of that, there is spiritual immaturity in our world. There's a lot of spiritually immature people that are in the church world, actually. I mean, you know, when it comes to really several things, but one thing that I'm thinking of right now when it comes to taking offense to things, well, Jesus says in one place that those who meditate on God's Word, nothing shall offend them. But we do get offended. I understand that. And we talked a little bit about forgiveness last Sunday morning. But what I'm saying is that when a person has a natural diet, a healthy diet of God's Word, it builds that person so that they can be sustained in life. When the winds come and the waves of adversity come in their life, they are anchored into the pages of God's Word, the living Word. But you see, a Christian who has never bellied up to the table and fed themselves and went a little deeper with God in their relationship, when those storms come and those winds come, they're totally taken back. And listen, we all respond to devastation and adversity in different ways. And I'll even say that the passing of Brother Johnny, I mean, I'm shocked tonight. I'm shocked. But at the same time, I'm not going to backslide on God and shake my fist to heaven and say, why'd you take Brother Johnny? Because I know that this life is just a dressing room for the life to come. And I know there's a hereafter. But you see, we learn those things from the pages of God's Word. And so therefore, it is necessity tonight to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I do want to say, a person may age, but that's not automatic maturity. Maturity is intentional. You have to take initiative to grow. Now, this evening, the call to grow, I want to mention three words that will actually help us in our spiritual growth. There's many ways that we can approach this subject tonight, but just these three words I feel are needful to be repeated tonight. And often I look at these words and try to apply them in my life. If we want to grow tonight, one way to help with that growth has to do with the word prioritizing, or to prioritize. We must prioritize our lives daily. You see, it'd be easy tonight to be guilty of being a busybody. You know, we all have reasonable things that we do, don't we? The average person has a job to work at, has different responsibilities in life, perhaps as a father or at least a son to someone, a daughter to someone. But a person has that responsibility of being a parent and a job. And so it's easy to get going in our day-to-day lives with our responsibilities and then make it through our day and find out that we had no thought time for God, no prayer time for God. We have been so busy, we didn't even have a thought time for God. And I want to say that if we are that busy that we don't allocate a few minutes to think about God and meditate on at least one verse of Scripture, friend, we're too busy tonight. And don't be surprised if I stay so busy all of the time, living a life that is not prioritized, that when things happen or I need to make sense out of something, that it doesn't happen or I don't make sense out of it. Because you see, our anchor is in God's Word. We must prioritize our lives so that we can take in God's Word and read what He has to say about when things fall apart, and read what He has to say about when there's a death in the family. And so we ought to prioritize our lives daily. I know we can't wake up and open the Bible and stay there 24/7. We're not saying that. But what we are saying is the same thing Joshua said. Lord, let the meditation of my heart and the words of my lips be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. That's what we're saying tonight. To have an acceptable thought life where we think about God and we share the Lord with others. Let us not be guilty of being a busybody tonight. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. I want you to listen in verse number 11 what Paul says about being a busybody. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 11. For we hear that there are some which walk among you, the church, those in Thessalonica, disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. There's busybodies, Paul is saying, in the church. And if there's busybodies in the church, there are busybodies in life. What is a busybody? Well, the word busybody here is through the idea of this, to busy oneself in useless matters, or to busy oneself in others' matters. It also means to bustle about uselessly. And so Paul is saying that there are those who busy themselves in others' matters. He said there are some in this world and in the church who busy themselves in useless matters, who bustle about uselessly. And I want to say this tonight, that if we are expecting to grow spiritually and mature in the faith, then we cannot spend our life being a busybody in other men's matters. We cannot spend our life being a busybody in useless matters. And what happens is, 9 times out of 10, we will spend our whole day being busybodies, and then when we finally have time at nighttime, you've already guessed it, we're too tired. We're too tired. Now, I want you to notice a particular account of Martha. We've heard it before several times, but it's worthy of being repeated. It's the Bible. But in Luke chapter number 10, in verse number 40, I want you to notice Luke 10 in verse number, Let me turn to Luke. Luke 10 in verse number, it's verse number 40, but I want to read verse number 38. Luke 10, verse number 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful," listen to this, "and troubled about many things. But the one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." And so we know that Jesus was over for supper. And we know that there was Mary and Martha in the house. And we know that Mary sat at Jesus' feet. But Martha here is the one who pictures being the busybody. She's busy. Verse 40, that word cumbered, it simply means to drag around mentally. Martha literally, she was doing this and she was doing that. Martha was doing all kinds of things. She was, you know, she was cooking, she was setting the table. And so this was Martha. She was being drugged all around by the things that she was doing. And the Bible says that she basically got an attitude with the Lord and said, "Lord, tell her to help me." That's what she said. "Lord, tell her." Notice what he says in verse number 40. But what she says, "But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, doest thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.'" Notice this. Jesus is the company. She's cooking for, preparing the evening for Jesus. And then she gets an attitude with Jesus. That goes to show you the mental state of mind that Martha was in. Martha not only was trying to cook the food, spread the table, but when Jesus rebuked her He said, Martha, Martha, thou art troubled over many things. Many things. And so it really, Martha was, she was set to boil over. It was a breakdown that was waiting to happen. And when she saw Mary down at Jesus' feet, and she was doing this, she was doing that, she was doing all of these things, she had a breakdown. And she told the Lord what the Lord needs to be doing. And so how many times in life, listen, I'm guilty of this at times. I'm human. I know some of you are too. You, everybody's human that's watching, that's listening. And how many times in life do we just get drugged all the way around with this situation, with that, trying to go to work, trying to do this and be responsible, and mentally we're just cumbered about with much serving. That's exactly what happens in life. And so we struggle with this. But I want you to flip to John 12 and verse number 2. I believe this is another supper at Martha's house. In fact, right before Passion Week, before the Lord goes to the cross, that last week of his life. Notice, if you would, in chapter number 12 of John, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Look at verse number 2. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. If you read the rest of this chapter, which is a very, very lengthy chapter, friend, tonight you will find out that this is a different Martha than the last Martha. This Martha is calm under pressure. This, I mean, listen, her brother was raised from the dead sitting at the table. And Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross. If there was any a time to be cumbered about with much serving and being distracted and being torn apart mentally, being drugged all the way, now would be that time. But something happened to Martha. Martha grew spiritually. Martha grew. And Martha served, you see. There's nothing here about Martha having another breakdown. There's nothing here about Martha falling apart. And here's what happens in life. You and I, we serve, we live life, we try to do the best we can do, but even at that we fall short. And what happens? We learn how to do it better next time. We learn how to do it better. We may fall short. We may have questions to God about things in life. Lord, why this? This is that question that Martha had to the Lord for about Mary. Lord, I'm serving. Why ain't she helping? And sometimes we have many, many, many questions in life for the Lord. And we can't understand this situation, and we're trying hard on this end to make something work. And then we're just filled with anxiety, and we struggle with fear. But over time, if we apply ourselves, we learn that there's a better way to serve. We learn that being at Jesus' feet like Mary was and hearing His Word pays off. We have to be at Jesus' feet and not be this busybody. We must prioritize our life and be like Mary at Jesus' feet, taking in His Word. But nonetheless, tonight there is a contrast between Martha then and Martha now. What about you tonight? Are you cumbered about with much serving? Are you bustling about uselessly? It can happen. It can happen to all of us. But if we want to continue to grow, one helpful thing would be prioritizing. Let us tonight prioritize our lives daily and make time for the Lord. There's a second thing I want to mention that will help us with spiritual growth. Not only prioritizing, but stretching. You know that stretching will help us grow spiritually. We're in John. Turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter number 3 for a moment. Philippians chapter number 3. They say when it comes to working out, and they say when it comes to walking, that stretching is necessary, at least to avoid injury and to have a good exercise. We must stretch. And I guess there's some truth to that. But when it comes to the spiritual realm, stretching is necessary. In Philippians chapter number 3, notice verse number 13. Brethren, Paul speaking, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Tonight, growing spiritually requires stretching. The word reaching here is the same word to stretch. And so Paul is literally giving us an illustration. He says, in order for me to apprehend the full purpose God has for me, number one, I have to forget those things which are behind. And then I need to reach forth unto those things which are before. And so we literally have a stretch. Paul is forgetting some things that are behind that were pre-salvation. Everything that he learned, being the Jew and all of that, Hebrew and all of that, Paul learned many, many things. He was very much seasoned in that. But he says, I have to forget some things in order to obtain some things. And so he is forgetting and he is reaching. And so there's a stretch here. There's a stretch. You and I in our life, if we are going to grow spiritually, we've got to let go of some things and reach for some things. We have to let go of immaturity and reach for maturity. We have to let go of an awful past, if you have one, and reach for a glorious future. Reach for Christ. But while we're doing this, there is a strain. There is a stretch. And sometimes it can be painful, but it is necessary. This evening, let me give you an illustration. It's like having a rubber band and you stretch that rubber band. Today I had a bunch of mail at home and I had a small rubber band, but I stretched it, and I put it around a bunch of mail that I had to keep the mail together. And it's amazing what can be accomplished when stretching. That was a little rubber band, yet it held together probably 20 pieces of mail. And in like manner, when it comes to God and His economy, the Lord is in the business of getting us to stretch. Because you'll just be surprised at what you can accomplish while being stretched for God. Now, no doubt this involves leaving a comfort zone, because stretching requires discomfort. Stretching requires pain sometimes. So therefore, in order to properly grow spiritually and successfully forget about the things that are behind and reach forward, there has to be stretching. There has to be stretching. In fact, if we're always looking in the rear view, we're not moving ahead. We can't, because our vision is looking behind us. Let us look ahead in life. Let us stretch ourselves. Let us allow God to stretch us out of our comfort zone. Let us forget about tomorrow and the shortcomings of our own. And let us go for today and maybe have some victories today that we didn't yesterday. Let us stretch ourselves. You know, it's good to have goals in life, and goals can stretch us. A quote that someone said one time is this: vision without action is a dream, but action without vision is a nightmare. Did you get that? Goals can stretch us, and we need to be stretched, but having goals and having visions, vision without action is a dream. Action without vision is a nightmare. And so we have to be stretched if we're going to reach our goals. And we have to allow God to stretch us. Let me give you another example. In the book of Mark, chapter number 3, I want you to notice something here. Mark, chapter number 3 and verse number 5. The man with the withered hand. We have a man with a withered hand in Mark chapter number 3. And I want you to notice what takes place. In verse number 5, notice what Jesus says to this man. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. You believe that? Here's a man who had a drawn up hand. A man with a handicapped hand. And for years he has grown accustomed to doing things with one hand because the other was withered. And I mean, just trying to work with a withered hand and one hand that was whole. But at the words of God, God said, stretch forth thine hand. For years, he tried to stretch forth his hand in his own ability. But you see, it was at the word of God and the timing of when God told him to stretch his hand that he actually stretched his hand and it was made whole. Verse 5 again, the Bible says, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Can you imagine? This man with a withered hand, all his life he tried and he tried and he tried. And he just, I'm sure, gave up on it. It is what it is. But then Jesus said, stretch forth thine hand. And at Jesus' word, he obeyed. And yes, I'm sure it definitely took faith. It probably was a little painful, but he stretched forth and his hand was whole like the other. Listen, tonight God wants us to grow. And we are to grow by going from the milk of the Word to the meat of the Word. But there is a process in growing. And we need to prioritize, but also there is the call to stretch. To stretch like this man with a withered hand. You may be listening tonight, and you may be in the middle of something or something you've been dealing with for a number of years and no change, business as usual. Guess what? The Lord wants you to get better. The Lord wants you to grow. And so what we need to do is go ahead and pay the bill of pain for a little while, do what's necessary, and stretch ourselves so that we can mature like God wants us to. And so stretching is involved. Prioritizing is involved. And then lastly tonight, there's a third word that helps with spiritual growth, and that's continuing. Continuing. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Listen closely what Paul tells Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. I used all my markers, bookmarkers. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Notice, if you would, in verse number 14. Paul tells Timothy to continue. He says in verse number 14, but 2 Timothy 3:14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. How about that tonight? Paul tells Timothy, he said, you have learned some things and been assured of some things, and you have learned them from your mother, your grandmother, Eunice and Lois. You've learned from them as a child, and I've been your mentor now, and you've learned from me. And so Paul says you don't need anything outside of that to continue. He said that's what you need. You need what you have been brought up on, and that is God's Word. And the Word that I spoke unto you, you need that Word. And Paul goes on, he says, these words and that upbringing you had, you were assured of those things. You weren't just taking their Word from Lois and Eunice growing up and Paul now, but you were assured of those words. Salvation became yours, and you have bore fruit from your salvation. You have been assured of some things. You don't need a new device. You don't need some kind of worldly system or anything along those lines to mature, to grow, to continue. Specifically in this chapter during perilous times, but it tells them, but continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Verse 15 says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Listen to verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, person of God, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What is that? That's growth. And growth occurs through continuing. Verse 16 says that the Word of God is inspired of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, or is God-breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for education, for reproof, that is conviction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. How about that? And so if we are going to grow and mature, then we're going to have to continue with the things that we've learned and been assured of, the Word of God. Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I want to close with this illustration tonight. They say that a fruit tree, I'll just use a peach tree, from the time that the ground is prepared and the time that the seed is planted and watered and cared for, from that starting time to the time peaches appear on that tree can be at least 4 to 5 years. it could take at least four to five years before that first peach bears from that tree. But everything in the process was needful. The preparing of the soil, the planting of the seed, the watering daily, fertilizing, sun, heat, all of those things played a role into one day walking up to that tree, getting the peach, and enjoying the benefits of all that work could take up to 4 to 5 years. You may be listening tonight and may say, Brother Justin, I've done everything you said, but I'm still struggling with the storms of life. I'm still struggling to hit God's bullseye of holiness every day. Brother Justin, I've done everything you're doing and I'm just not where I want to be. Well, let me just say, to continue to do good, continue to read your Bible, to hear your Bible, Miss Claudia, continue to pray, continue to go hard after God, and sooner or later, you will be aware of some spiritual growth in your life. There may be some things that at one time bothered you and you tossed and turned all night, but it's been a few years now. It's been a number of years now, and the same situation popped up, but yet you dealt with it, you're over it. What is that? That's spiritual growth. And again, tonight, Peter gives us, he calls us to grow. He says, but grow. He tells us in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the message tonight, the call to grow. Just a few helpful things. Prioritizing, prioritizing, and stretching, and continuing. And when we do those things, we can expect a crop before too long. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, we love you, we praise you for who you are, for what you do. God, tonight in conclusion of the message, I pray that we would take heed to ourselves, and Lord, that we would be after you, go hard after you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that as we abide in the vine, you, Lord, would produce fruit in our life to your honor and your glory. We love you. We praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for watching this evening, and I hope everybody has a blessed night. I hope you got something from God's Word. And good Lord willing, we will be back here in person live on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. God bless.